Yeah, yeah. Just wanna bless your name. My God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Presence and I feel your power. Oh, your hand is mighty upon me, and I'm in all of you. Oh, my,
I sense your presence,
Spirit of the Lord. Oh,
I feel
my,
your power.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Now, in John chapter 14, I'm just going to speak to you about the Holy Spirit being our helper. Look at your neighbor and say, I have a helper. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded that we are not alone in life's battles. You are never alone as long as you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. In John chapter 14, we see Jesus made some very amazing statements. One of them that he said in verse 12 was, he says, that the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do. So God is looking for greater works out of the church, out of you and me. He's looking for us to do greater things than he did, bigger things, more powerful things. Well, we know that we can't do any of that in and of ourselves. Flesh profits nothing. You can't produce nothing but bad with the flesh. Paul said, we have no confidence in the flesh. So we're not talking about you doing things in the strength of your own might, you know. We're talking about you working with God, allowing God to work in you. Jesus said, you would do greater works. Verse 13 says, and whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So then he gives us his name. Amen. Now, the name is a necessary part of doing the greater works, because the scripture tells us in Colossians chapter 3 that whatever we do in word or deed, whatever we speak, say, prophesy, decree, declare, however we use our mouth, and whatever we do, how we act, how we live, how we conduct ourselves, it has to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father by him. So whatever we do and however we live, everything we do should have a mark of Christ in it. We should be doing it in his name. And when you do something in his name, that means you're doing something that represents him, that he can stand right beside you and say, yep, I'm in agreement, full agreement with that. And when you speak in Jesus' name, it's just like Jesus speaking. Amen. When you act in his name, it's just like him acting. Amen. So you get the same result. So we see in verse number 13, he gave us the authority to use his name. He actually delegated that authority to us and said, whatever you ask, Melvin, in my name, he said, I'll do it. So we're talking about a partnership. You asking and him doing something. Me asking for something. or demanding something that I know is the will of God, and Jesus standing there to make sure it happens. That's called working together. So he gave us his name. He said, you're going to do greater works now. The way you're going to do it is with my name. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In other words, I will perform it. I will see to it that it gets done. I'll take responsibility for it. He said, if you ask anything in my name, anything representing all that I am, anything representing the will of the Father, if you ask it in my name, I'm going to be right there to make sure it gets done. You see, and Peter and them used that name in Acts chapter 3 when they said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. And then Peter gave an explanation because people were looking at Peter, and Peter said, don't look at me as if by our own holiness we made this man to work. He said, I want you to know, and I want all Jerusalem to know, that the man that you crucified, he is the one that have given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter invoked the name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he's acting just like Jesus would act. He's doing what Jesus would do at that very moment. No doubt he had walked by that man many days. Many days. Jesus had been in and out of the temple. The man was over 40 years old. So Jesus had walked by that man and not healed him. But on one particular day, being led by the Spirit, as he asked alms from them, Peter stopped him and John and said, look on us. Something different about today. Because now the Holy Spirit's involved. Because they're being led by the Spirit of God, and they use a name, and the Bible says that he was expecting to receive something from them. So no doubt they probably had given him something in the past, because this man getting ready to get something. But Peter said, I ain't got no silver and gold. Now that don't mean he was broke. That mean he didn't have none on him right then. He wasn't broke. He said, but what I do have, I'm fixing to give to you. And what he had the presence of God. He had the anointing upon him. He had the power upon him. So he had the glory, which is the presence, the power, and the goodness. And then he had the name. He had the Holy Ghost, all that wrapped up into one. And when he spoke and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And when he reached down and grabbed that man, the Bible says his feet and ankle bones received strength. That means that the Lord was right there with them, making sure that what he had demanded happened in his name, because it was his will at that specific time and that specific place and that specific person. It was God's will for him to get up and walk. And God did that, and many souls were saved. I think, 5,000 people got saved after that. On the day of Pentecost, there's 3,000 people got saved? Then 5,000. So God did a great miracle. And in fact, the religious world called it a notable miracle. Yes. They say, now we can't deny that a miracle didn't happen, because they had done walked by that man. And they wanted to know, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter said, I want you to know it's by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even by him does this man stand before you whole. He said, you crucified him, but he did this. So then they were threatened not to teach or to preach, not to speak. If you're going to say something, you should be saying it in his name. So Jesus right here told them how they were going to do the greater works, but he wasn't finished. So he gave them one aspect of doing the greater works. It was the use of the authority of his name. He gave them the authority to use his name as being led by the Spirit of God. Now look at the next verse. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. All right, now that's pretty straightforward, ain't it? So he goes from doing the greater works. He say, now, I'm going to give you my name, but don't fall out of love with me. Some people just want to use the name, and they don't want to have nothing to do with him. You can't do that. That ain't going to work. So you have to line your life up and say, you know, I'm going to obey. I'm going to listen. I'm going to pray. I'm going to obey. I'm going to listen. I'm going to pray. I'm going to obey. So he says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So now Jesus is telling them how they're going to do the greater works. You're going to have access to my name. I'm going to give you the authority to use my name, and then I'm going to give you another comforter. And this comforter is going to help you, because when you look up that word paraclete, it means helper, strengthener, comforter, standby, advocate, intercessor. All of those words are wrapped up in that one word, comforter, there. He said, now I'm going to give you the comforter. He is the Spirit of truth, and he's not in you right now. He wasn't in them. He was with them. He was alongside them, but he wasn't in them yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. In other words, Jesus had not been raised from the dead yet. He hadn't died. He hadn't taken our sins to the cross with him. And so it wasn't until after he was raised from the dead that it became possible for your body and my body to become the temple that the Holy Spirit lives in. Guess where he lives? He lives right there in you. Say, the Holy Ghost in me. So how many of you have access to the name? How many of you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Then you qualified for greater works. Now, I want to emphasize one aspect, or maybe a couple of aspects of the Holy Spirit. You know, that word comforter can be translated helper. So the Holy Spirit is our strengthener. Ephesians chapter 3 says that we are strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? That's where he is, in your inner man. So he gives you strength in your inner man. But he also strengthens your soul, and he strengthens your physical body. The Holy Spirit does that. He is your helper. Now, sometimes people forget, when they get in life's battles, they forget about the fact that they have a helper. Now, you can use a helper, or you can send the helper away. How many of you had somebody want to help you, and you say, that's all right, I got it, and you did in your own strength? Well, you know, if you'd have let somebody help you, you wouldn't have to work so hard. Now, the Holy Spirit, he's the helper of all helpers. But the helper, I'm going to call him that, but the comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go on down a little bit more. He talked about loving him again. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then he said he's going to reveal himself to you. That's his presence. He said, me and the Father are going to come to you and reveal ourselves to you. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you ain't going to obey me. So your obedience is the mark of your love for God. If you really love Jesus, then you're really going to follow the word. I remember one day I was telling the Lord over and over, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Jesus, I sure do love you. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And then he asked me a question. He said, are you keeping my word? Caused me to examine myself. Am I walking in obedience? Has he asked me to do anything that I'm not doing? Or have he revealed scriptures to me that I'm not putting into practice? Now, I could say at that moment, I say, Lord, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know no area that I'm in disobedience. And that was fine with him. He just wanted me to check. So every time I tell him, almost every time I say, Lord, I love you, I always think, am I walking in obedience? Because if I ain't walking in obedience, he will call me a liar to my face in love. Say, you're not telling the truth. Me know he'll tell you the truth. Yeah, he'll correct you if you're wrong. He ain't gonna sugarcoat it. Amen. So we all have to make sure that we're walking in the light that he has revealed to us.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria.